flash flooding hit Wisconsin this week again. Rivers are running high. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Flood warnings continue this morning for points along a number of rivers, including the Fox, Baraboo, Milwaukee, Root, Sheboygan. What does flooding look like in your community? Were you spared by the latest round of rain, or are you struggling to clean up? Join in at 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is an associate editor at WisconText. That's a digital news and information service of WPR and Wisconsin Public Television. Will, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, let's look at the data you've been crunching. 2 or 3 years, we've seen a 100-year flood, a 500-year flood, 1,000-year flood in Wisconsin. What areas of the state have been hit by these intense weather events, and how you look at that data?
Sure. Pretty much every part of the state has been hit by some form of flood like this. Last year, I think a lot of people in the Dane County region and around here will remember the flood in August, which was huge. There have been similar floods in the Driftless region around Coon Valley in recent years. And then I've really been focusing on northwestern Wisconsin, kind of the Superior and Ashland area right on the Lake Superior shoreline, which has received 100, 500, and 1,000-year storms over the course of the last 3 years, as he said. And so something that we should clear up, I guess, from the beginning is that a 100-year storm doesn't necessarily mean that it's a storm that only occurs every 100 years.
Once in 100 years.
Exactly, which I think is a common misunderstanding. It's actually based on probability. So a 100-year storm is essentially a storm that, based on historical weather data, there's a 1% chance of happening in any given year. So you could have that happen multiple times in just a couple of years.
So it's a statistical thing here.
Right.
You know, it's not a firm date here. In 100 years, this will happen.
Exactly.
The National Weather Service is reporting that Green Bay broke their yearly precipitation record yesterday. So how does the heavy rain and flash flooding we're seeing this week compare to the last few years?
It's similar and different. Similar in that what we're seeing is kind of extended periods of wetness that really inundate the land and make it so that the water that then falls in subsequent rainstorms has a really hard time draining or infiltrating into the ground. It's a little bit what we're seeing this week, though, is a little bit different, though, because we haven't seen any of those like super, super really intense storms like the one up in Bayfield and Ashland counties in 2016 that dumped up to 16 inches of rain in 24 hours. We haven't seen that. And those can be really, really devastating to homes and especially infrastructure. But yeah, so they're similar, but a little different.
Prolonged periods of steady rain, though, they are still impacting the water table and just making it rise.
Totally. And that was a major complicating factor in 2016 as well. They had this huge rainstorm, and same with 2018 in the region, large rainstorm after a period of pretty wet days, just storms over and over and over again, none of which were on their own necessarily going to lead to a major disaster. But when they preceded a really huge rain event, a disaster occurred.
Talking with Will Cushman from our WisconText team. He stays with us. So we're looking at the statewide status of flooding and that compounding effect. And we want to know, are you noticing flooding more frequently in your community? What has changed over the decades in your part of Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Well, you studied storm infrastructure across the state as flooding has become more common and the issue is compounding. How are local and state governments reassessing after these severe weather events?
They're doing, in a lot of places, everything that they can, which sometimes is maybe not enough. For instance, back up in northwestern Wisconsin, after these really huge storms, so there was another one in 2012 as well that hit Superior. It was really bad across the lake in northeastern Minnesota, but that one also hit Superior. So since 2012, there have been three really major storms in this region. And there are communities in the region that have had roads wash out out every single time in the same place. And those road washouts are occurring because the infrastructure that helps water flow across the landscape and across roads, namely bridges and culverts, culverts being those pipes that run underneath the road that direct water under it, those have they've discovered have been undersized. So essentially the culverts just aren't wide enough to handle the huge volumes of water that are flowing, trying to flow through them after these huge storms. And so communities are trying to upsize these culverts, but culverts are really, really expensive, both in terms of the actual material costs, but then placing them can be really expensive too. A lot of earth movement is involved sometimes. So these are really expensive investments. And so local communities often don't have the resources to...
At the municipal level.
Exactly. So townships and villages, counties even, don't have the resources to pay for these huge upgrades to culverts. So they depend a lot on state and particularly FEMA, the Federal Emergency Response Agency, which does have grants for rebuilding after these major disasters. The problem is that FEMA often... It usually requires that the infrastructure be replaced in kind, meaning that the culverts have to be built as they were prior to the disaster. So when the culvert was undersized to begin with, it's going back in. Of course, it's not surprising to anyone, especially these officials, that they are washing out again and having to be replaced.
All right. You're replacing it with engineering that is the same as it was in the past. So you're going to get the similar outcomes in the future if you have these rain events.
Yep.
So looking at the wetlands, can we point to some causes here? Are there many factors contributing to the loss of wetlands in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, and a lot of it goes back to all the way to the beginning of European settlement. So in the late 1800s, when the region was essentially clear-cut and cleared for agriculture. So there are a couple things that went on there. First, the vast forests in northern Wisconsin acted as a basically regional wide sponge, could absorb a lot of rainwater in a way that the current landscape is not able to. And also a lot of wetlands were filled in mostly for agricultural production. And that's been reversing a little bit in some regions as fields are taken out of egg production in areas in northern Wisconsin. But there's still I think statewide, the figure is that the state has lost half of its wetlands since European settlement, and that varies state by state. But up in the region in northwestern Wisconsin, it's a pretty similar number to that.
And these wetlands are really pivotal when it comes to these huge rainfall amounts, I would imagine, because they can absorb some of this excess?
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of something that I've learned in my reporting that I think is really interesting and kind of surprising to me is that wetlands are not always what you kind of think of as a typical classic wetland, you know, like bulrushes or cattails in a shallow pond or lily pads, stuff like that. A lot of wetlands actually don't really look like what most people imagine wetlands to look like. It can be kind of like uplands in a forest that for maybe most of the year is pretty dry, but the land is able to absorb a lot of water, mostly in the springtime or when there's like a huge rain event.
We're taking a historical look at the impact of floodwaters in our state with Will Cushman. He's an associate editor at WisConText. How do you try to keep heavy rain from ruining your home or your fields? Maybe flooding affects your business. What steps are you taking? What are local leaders doing to help? What does the engineering look like? Be part of the conversation at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. Flooding problems are widespread across southern Wisconsin. Cleanup efforts, they're underway. We're talking about flooding here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Damage reports are coming in from counties including Ozaukee, Waukesha, Dane, Jefferson, Grant, Dodge. A record 2.4 inches of precipitation recorded at the Dane County Regional Airport yesterday. Even some areas along Lake Michigan could experience erosion and lakeshore flooding. So how do you try to keep heavy rain from ruining your home or your fields? What are you going through right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Will Cushman from our WisconTex team, he stays with us to talk about how flooding is affecting our state differently than in decades past. And that's true across Wisconsin, not just in areas hit this week. Let's go to the phones now. Gary is joining us from Iron River. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, folks. Say, I think we've got to concentrate a lot more on what we could do to slow down the speed of runoff. As time has gone by, more people have bigger houses, bigger roofs, paved driveways, paved roads. Farmers' fields are land level, so the water runs off quick. And compared to 50 years ago, even with development that occurred with the forest being cut, the runoff continues to be faster and faster and faster as we have more and more people and more and more surfaces that allow it to run quickly to the rivers and streams.
Gary, thanks so much for the call. Will, what is the impact of runoff?
Gary makes a really great point. A lot of the problems that have been caused in these major storms have been because of, as he said, the high velocity of the water that's running through these rivers. It's just really gushing through these rivers in a way that it hadn't historically before really before development and before the loss of so many wetlands. So you hear a mantra from a lot of people who are proponents of wetlands and other ways of slowing down the runoff, slow the flow. That's like this mantra that comes across a lot. Slow the flow of the water as it's after it falls on the land, make sure that it stays where it falls as long as it can infiltrate into the ground and not just run off immediately into these rivers, which then it just really speeds down these rivers, and that can cause erosion in the riverbeds. And then a kind of complicating factor of that I've learned is that it causes erosion, and the riverbeds will then kind of deepen and deepen and deepen over time. And then the riverbeds even get disconnected from the wetlands within their floodplains. And so not only do they not have the benefit of the wetlands kind of at the upper parts of the watershed, they don't have the benefit of the wetlands in the floodplains because they're so far below the floodplains. Also, the wetlands in the floodplains become degraded because they're so disconnected from the rivers. And it's just kind of this
domino
feedback. Yeah, it's not great.
Let's go to Paula now in Rock Springs. Hi, Paula.
Hi. So my question goes off of Gary's. Also, with everything that flows into the river, with us living near the Baraboo River having flooded over and over again, is there any engineering looking at, like, dredging these rivers where all the excess mud has gone into them? Is that creating more flood problems?
Paula, great question, because we do dredge the Mississippi.
We do, yeah, and that increases the flow. So it's kind of the opposite of slow the flow. And, Paula, I think there are places where that happens, as you said, the Mississippi. And I know here in Dane County, the local officials are spending a lot of money on removing weeds from the Yahara River to try to increase the flow of the Yahara draining the lakes here in Madison, because that's been one of the problems in Madison, not in addition to the kind of like short-term flash flooding from these huge rain events, is the fact that these rivers, like the Yahara, are not able to efficiently carry away the water, and then the lakes stay at a high level. And I think people in Madison will remember last summer on the east side, there was high water blocking off roads for weeks, even months. There's different solutions for sure.
Talking with Will Cushman from WisconTex, we're talking about flooding, why it happens, what floodwaters do to infrastructure, how we're planning to avoid it in the future. Are you dealing with this latest round of torrential rains in southern Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. Well, going back to Lake Superior for a moment, in 2016, the tributaries flowing to Lake Superior reached their highest levels. The excess amounts of rain are connected to our changing climate. What have you heard from researchers about the area's future in that sense?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most fascinating parts of the reporting. One of the most fascinating things that I've learned is, and also a little scary, is that the I talked about culverts before and how they've essentially been undersized in the region for a long time and aren't able to handle the flow of water going through them. So part of that is because engineers have generally been using, up until pretty recently, standards for 100-year storms that are based on a guidance from NOAA and the National Weather Service from like the 1970s. And that depends on data from decades earlier. And so that was updated by NOAA in 2012, that guidance for a 100-year storm. And they found that in the area around Ashland, so Ashland, Bayfield County, Iron County, and also Douglas County, they found that what engineers have been using to size culverts and bridges, that guidance for a 100-year storm was really inadequate. And it's actually, a 100-year storm is about 30% larger than they thought it was. And they're expecting that to basically only continue. The magnitude of these low probability storms is expected to get larger.
Does that have anything to do with like outdated maps? Is the mapping not updated? What's going on?
I think it's mostly dependent on actual like historical weather data. Okay. So it seems like it was just the climate period that they had been using prior is just, it's already so different than it was in the mid 20th century, especially in that region for some reason. That was kind of like the epicenter in the upper Midwest, they found, of kind of lowballing these 100-year storm estimates.
Going back to Bayfield County and looking how that county is trying to secure the funding to not just repair but upgrade their roads, their storm infrastructure, is there any movement on the state or federal level to change policy to get those dollars there?
I know Bayfield County is applying for a grant from the federal government to upgrade one of its county roads, so it can be kind of like an all-season connector. One of the big problems in Bayfield County that they've had after these big storms is that there's really only a couple main connecting roads, north and south, really just one in one part of the county. And when it's washed out, that can lead to huge detours. And for a county like Bayfield, which is really heavily dependent, its economy on tourism, and then other industries that heavily rely on transportation, that can cause a lot of problems. There is also movement at the legislative level and at the federal government. There has been a bill proposed or submitted in the Senate. It's passed committee, but I don't think it's gone to the full Senate. Senator Tammy Baldwin is one of the co-sponsors. And the point of that bill is it would direct the Federal Highway Administration to consider resiliency in its grants for post-disaster infrastructure upgrades, which could have a big impact. Because as I said, now FEMA and also the Federal Highway Administration, they generally only will fund repairs to infrastructure as it was before the disaster.
Right, so keeping an eye on that legislation. Dane County, we had talked about the extreme flooding last year, and the county executive announced his budget proposal this week. It included a number of flood mitigation and response strategies. What is Dane County doing?
One of the big things that Dane County is doing is that cutting the weeds in the Yahara, trying to get the water flow through the Yahara, get it flowing faster to drain the lakes faster. I think Dane County is also looking at upgrading some of its transportation infrastructure, including culverts, upsizing some culverts. That's also been a problem in southern Wisconsin for sure. I haven't been following the movements in Dane County as closely, but mm-hmm. that's what I know about that.
And another $3 million flood risk mitigation fund. So definitely putting dollars there to try to deal with this.
For sure. And I think Dane County is in a position that some of these smaller counties might not be in terms of resources.
As we wrap up here, how are southern Wisconsin communities dealing with the costs of flood recovery and upgrades? Like, where do they go? Is it very individualized?
It is really individualized. A lot of these decisions are made at the township level, which can be a problem when some town leadership is really proactive, but maybe the next township over, the leadership is not as proactive or not seeking similar solutions. So there's kind of like a patchwork of work going on. But I think most of the communities are really looking at ways that they can cost effectively upgrade infrastructure or build or maintain wetlands so that they function better. There are a lot of options, and communities are kind of seeking them all.
Will, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Will Cushman is an associate editor at WisContext, and that's a digital news and information service of WPR and WPT, featuring news reporting, research, community-based expertise. We have a link, by the way, to articles on WisContext.org. Visit our show page, WPR.org/mornings. Still ahead, we explore how understanding social media better could help predict or maybe even prevent youth who get wrapped up in gang violence. That conversation coming up right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.